If you were here last year when he was here, you may have met him already. If you haven't, I'm just excited to introduce you to Pastor Ben, and I want to invite him to come up here right now. Can you give him a Quarry Rock welcome? And if you would, if you're expecting for God to speak today and desiring to hear from his word, would you raise your hand out towards Pastor Ben as we pray over him? Father God, thank you for Pastor Ben. Thank you for how you're going to be working through him today and how you're going to be working through your word today. Thank you for what you're going to do and be with him and be with us. Help us to grow closer and closer to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Pastor Ben,
thank you, brother. Thanks
for being here.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello. I noticed a few faces from last year. And, you know, Tim, you were talking about, you know, the last week you guys had something. You had mentioned his background as a counselor. Well, my background, I'm just a feller who loves Jesus, if that's all right. So I don't have a certificate for that, per se, but I do love Jesus. So my family's here in the front row. We were driving up from Sioux Falls this morning. I couldn't help but notice all the cornfields, right? Now, they're all looking pretty good. I know we've had some heat, but what's the saying, knee-high by July? Yeah, by 4th of July. Now, that's usually sooner for me because I'm kind of stumpy, you know, so my knees are a little bit shorter, but everything's on track, right? But it kind of reminded me of a story about a young farmer, and it was getting close to harvest season, and he looked out over his field, and he saw just a few straggly corn stalks and dirt. Nothing grew. He's trying to think about how to break the news to his wife and kids. They'll lose the house. They could starve. They spent so many hours tilling the fields and breaking their backs, and they have nothing to show for it. He thinks of all the hours of his children's youth that he stole from them and for nothing. He's never known regret like this. He's never known a pain this deep. He goes home and he says a prayer to his for his family's future, and to beg God forgiveness for whatever sin caused him this turmoil. God hears him, and he takes pity. He sends down Jesus in his divine overalls, and Jesus plants a whole cornfield, and it grows to maturity overnight. Jesus goes home and sleeps soundly after a day of honest work. The farmer goes out to the field the next morning and is shocked. Shocked to find enough corn to feed not only his family, but the whole town. His mouth drops open and he looks at the field and he says, "Holy crop." I can say that in church, right? Look at your neighbor and say, "Holy crop." Okay, good. I'm not the only one that said it then. Ooh, good. I'm covered. Well, okay. Why do I tell this story, right? Raise your hand if you want to see a holy crop. Okay, good. Good. There's a few out there. I would think most of us probably would. I think most of us probably would. Well, the key to a holy crop is the soil in which the roots grow. The soil. And we're going to talk about that today. Psalm 1:3 says this, says that a person rooted in their faith shall be, they're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. That's a beautiful verse, isn't it? That is a beautiful verse. In order for a seed to grow and ultimately prosper, it must first be what? Planted, right? It needs to be planted. A seed is generally planted in soil, and the quality of the soil has a measurable effect on the growth of the seed. So today, let's learn about the planting the seed and the quality of the soil. Sound good? All right, perfect. And I would imagine some of you have probably heard, probably most of you, in what we refer to in church language as the parable of the sower, right? Well, if you haven't, need a little refresher, let me share it with you. Jesus says this in Matthew 13, 3 through 9. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across the field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Do you think that's a corn joke at the end? Anyone with ears? I don't know. Sorry, dad humor up here. Well, if this is the first time that you're hearing these verses, you might be thinking, what does this have to do with anything? Right? I don't understand. Well, guess what? You're in luck, if that's you, because 8 verses later, Jesus explains the meaning of the parable to the disciples. Matthew 13:18-23. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Jesus gives us 4 different scenarios of seed being spread in this parable. 4 different, and he explains that the seed is the word, right? That's the word of Jesus. That's the good news that we share with others. And the soil is the heart of a person. That's the heart where the seed of the good news can take root and ultimately grow. Jesus makes clear that the problems in the parable don't occur with the seed. They don't occur with the seed, but the problems arise depending on what kind of soil that seed fell into. So let's take a look at the 4 different types of soil described in this parable of the sower, okay? Here's number 1. Say it with me, a hardened heart. Well, we could do better than that. Let's do that. Let's do that again. A hardened heart. A hardened heart is a barren wasteland. Matthew 13:19 says this, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. See, some are opposed to the good news of Jesus, and there are those who are oblivious to it. Whether by personal volition or innocent omission, the parable is clear that seed will not grow where there is inhospitable soil. In fact, it even goes a step further and says the enemy will come and snatch that seed away because he doesn't want the seed to have the opportunity to even take root. This kind of soil will never reproduce because it can't produce. It can't produce. Here's the second type of soil or a heart condition, a troubled heart. Say that with me. There we go. Now we're tracking. A troubled heart produces shallow roots. Matthew 13:20-21. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. You know, life is a long and at times difficult journey. Would you agree? Absolutely. A heart that is troubled by the obstacles and adversity won't produce deep roots. They just won't. These individuals, they have an interest in the gospel or the good news and even seem to embrace it. At the beginning that happens. However, over time, without tending the growth of the seed, they'll fall away during the tough times and troubles. that all followers of Jesus will experience. And that shouldn't be a surprise to us, because Jesus actually warned us about this. Take a look at John 16:33. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Shallow roots will not sustain a person through the adverse, difficult seasons of life. They just won't. Here's a third type of soil or heart condition, a distracted heart. Say that with me.
A distracted heart.
You guys even said it like I said it. That was kind of cool, that one. Matthew 13:22. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. A distracted heart cannot grow the roots needed to sustain life. A heart that cares more for the things of this world, more than the kingdom, is not healthy soil necessary to experience kingdom growth. It's just not. Money, status, popularity, it's not the place for the seed to grow. It's just not. Unhealthy and distracted soil is not the place. And definitely not the place to find a harvest of healthy fruit. And here's the final condition of the heart or soil. A fertile heart. Say that with me.
A fertile heart.
Anyway, that was a test. I said it that way for a reason. Okay. Well, good. Matthew 13:23. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. That's the good one. That's the good one there. A heart that is fertile is the one that readily accepts the gospel seed and does the hard work of nurturing it to grow. This heart is one that is open to the truth of God's word and open to the transformation that will take place. This heart is made ready by the prompting of the Holy Spirit and the participation of the individual. The Holy Spirit and the participation of the individual. This heart does not experience growth for themselves, but actually impacts those around them. Healthy soil is where seeds have the most opportunity to grow into giving plants, seeds, flowers, trees, right? For instance, a single healthy apple tree, that can bear enough fruit to feed dozens of people. Its shade gives rest to those on a hot day. We probably could use a few more apple trees out here. Its flowers nourish thousands of pollinators every spring. And its seed spreads and multiplies into immeasurable amounts of other apple trees over the course of its lifetime. So here brings up the question. What kind of soil describes your heart today? What kind of soil describes your heart? And let me share this, because this is one of those questions where, you know, it can hurt, right? It's like, oh man, maybe I am one of these. Here's the key to this. Just be honest. Be honest with the question. I'm not asking you to shout an answer or anything, but be honest in that self-reflection. Whatever the answer is, it's not good, it's not bad, it's just reality. Does that make sense? It's kind of like cheating on your golf score. You know, it wouldn't make any sense, right? You're as good as you are, doesn't matter what scorecard shows. But I would assure that we probably all could agree that we could probably do a little better job at nourishing the seed of Jesus in our life. Is that fair? Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. So ask yourself, are you indifferent to the good news of Jesus? Are you indifferent? Are you needing to spend some time on the condition of your heart so that the seed of the gospel can grow deep and healthy roots? Are you distracted? Are there too many things in your life clamoring for your attention and care? If you've ever, hey, gardeners in here? Okay. So I see a lot of this. I've tried. You could call me a gardener, I guess. Well, it's no different than with, it takes work, right? To have a good garden, it takes work, and it's no different with the eternal garden of your heart where the divine seeds of the gospel and the kingdom are trying to grow. It's work. They need healthy soil and consistent care. So what can you do next week? What can you do next week to strengthen the soil of your heart? You've probably been encouraged to do these a million times, but it's not hard. It's not hard. How about dedicated time in prayer? That's a way to cultivate the soil, get it healthy. How about removal of distractions? Ooh. Yeah, that one's a tough one. Maybe no TV? Sleeping in too late? Boys, I'm looking to you. Sleeping in too late? Okay, I'll say it. Okay. How about social media? Anybody ever got caught in that whole trap of just scrolling and not even knowing what you're looking at? Yeah, that's a distraction. How about dedicated time every morning in the Word? Everybody here got an extra 10 minutes tomorrow morning when you wake up? Probably, right? Crack that bad boy open. Read some of God's Word. How about meet with Pastor Tim? How about meet with Pastor Tim or another trusted friend here from Quarry Rock? I mean, maybe there's something to discuss, like past hurts that are maybe presently hindering you or prohibiting the seed to grow, right? It's always good to have someone watching your back on that stuff. A lot easier for someone. You have to be open to it too, though, right? You have to be open. So how about if we just focus on that this next week? Those things. We could call it a little soil conservation. I mean, we all have the ability to make life choices to ensure our hearts are fertile soil for the truth of the gospel to take root. Would you agree? We do. Now, I'm going to pray for us in a minute here, but I'm going to let Tim off the hook because I know you probably have all seen this box sitting up here, right? It's not just his poor choice of interior decorating. It doesn't match. I'm sure people walking in and go, oh man, really? What's this box of weeds up here? But I wanted to bring it this morning because probably 5-6 weeks ago at Riverside Church is where I pastor down in Sioux Falls, we did a series called Rooted. And how we started that series was we just had a box of soil, right? And we all came up and we all took a mustard seed. Anybody have seen a mustard seed? Mustard greens? Yeah, maybe like sea salt, about that size, maybe a little smaller. But everybody in the church then after service came up and we all just took a pinch and we just all planted it in this box. And we covered it with dirt. Now, here's a little insight into a pastor's mind. When you do any kind of an example like this, you're thinking, oh, please grow. You know, because you're going to come back in a week or two and there's nothing there. It's like, well, yeah. But guess what? In about 3 days, there was like these little tiny little leaves coming up. So, yeah, then I'm excited to walk in the church with my box and set it there. And everybody can see, right? We're taking care of the soil. Because I had taken it home. Erin, it drove her nuts. As I'm moving it from sunlight to sunlight that's coming in the window and watering it. And not just any water, bottled water. I was like, really wanted this thing to grow. And so, but it was doing it, right? And in a couple weeks, it got a little bigger. And we came and checked it out. And one of the people in the church had a great, they saw it and said, it looks really good, but it looks really crowded. Because it was growing, but the stems and everything, it looked more like a vine. And so we had to do some pruning. Right? And that's so much like our walk with Jesus, right? We have to do some pruning. We already heard about a distracted heart, right? Things that come up around us, and we have to pluck those out to save the whole thing. Now, it's kind of weird because sometimes the plants look good. So it's a little weird taking something that we think looks good and pulling it out, right? I mean, because it's growing. That can happen, though, in our lives, right? Do you think sometimes something that we might see as good might be a distraction? Absolutely. So we did that, and it continued to grow. It got to the point where I can walk by and pull a leaf off it and eat it. It's like, all right, there's some fruit coming from this. But then, so our series ended, and so I just have this box of mustard greens that I'm still just kind of wandering around my house. They're old enough now, it's like, you know what, I'm going to set these out on the deck, right? And then that 100-degree day hit, and the wind. And I came in the house later in the day, and I thought, oh, the plants! And I went and looked at it, and they were completely all down. Just dry and crinkly, and I thought, I killed it. I wasn't taking care of the environment they were in, right? I wasn't watching the soil that was dry. It was about twice as light as it was before. So I brought it inside, gave it some more bottled water, you know, and, oh, apologize. You're supposed to talk to your plants. That's what I've heard, and they grow better. And so I'm moving it into the different light. And guys, look what's happening. It's starting to grow again, right? Now, if you walk by here after service, there's kind of like this bed of dried up stuff in the bottom of it, the ones that didn't make it. The shallow roots, right? The shallow roots. But look what's happening here. There were some with deep roots. And I told, this was just an hour before we came up here, I said, Carter, you need to grab that box. You can look perfectly healthy, and God's stuff is just happening in your life, and it's amazing, right? Amazing fruit, amazing growth. And then you make a mistake. Anybody here ever made a mistake? Maybe there's something that you started focusing on, and your plants die. They wither. They start to go down. But it's never too late to do soil conservation, right? I could have easily just threw that in the towel, went and threw it in the dumpster and walked in and said, well, that was a failure. I was like, no. I could do this, you know? I can work on the soil again, and things are growing again. I think that's an amazing metaphor in our life, right? Because we can mess up. Maybe sometimes you feel a little far from God, right? But you have good faith, and you have that. Maybe there's something that just needs to be removed, a distraction. A little soil conservation would probably go a long way. Make sense? So feel free when we're done, if you want to walk up here and take a look at my dead plants. I don't know. Maybe I'm like a real proud father of these plants, but I don't know. But guys, can I pray for you? Yes. All right, Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for just always being in control. Father, we're surprised by new growth, and it's exciting and it's fun, but you know it's going to happen. You're the one who causes the growth. Father, would you reveal to us, as we're just praying right now, maybe there's something that's distracting the seed from growing. Maybe we need to do a little soil conservation. And Father, would you just sear that into the mind and the heart of that thing that comes to mind? And we don't just walk out of here and just say, well, that was an interesting service, but like, you know what? I need to take care of this. This is something I need to do. Because Father, we all want to see this amazing fruit. But Father, would you just guide us in that journey of gardening? So Father, we just give the rest of this day to you. We love you and we praise you. And everyone says, amen.